Hello? Hello? Working? I was thinking about Father's Day, and we just celebrated Mother's Day, and you have New Year's Day, Christmas Day, President's Day, all these days on the calendars, and you know, there is a lot of days of celebration and holidays on our calendars. You know, there's a National Bubble Bath Day. There's a National Do Nothing Day on the calendar. And I actually looked up the origin of the Father's Day, but because of time, I just want to run through some of these days of celebration that are on the calendar that you may not know of. January 4th is a National Spaghetti Day. So you got Bubble Bath Day, we've already talked about. Clean Off Your Desk Day, January 11th. Just Clean Off Your Desk Day. National Dress Up Your Pet Day on January the 14th. National Strawberry Ice Cream Day, not a bad one there. That is January the 15th. National Squirrel Appreciation Day, January the 21st. You can look these up. These are out there, actual days out there. National Chocolate Cake Day, January 27th. Not a bad one there. National Fun Day at Work on January the 28th. The rest of the time, you don't have to have fun. But on January 28th, you need to have fun. That is Friday, or was Friday. February, we have National Golden Retriever Day, National Carrot Cake Day. That's a good one on February the 3rd. Feed the Bird Day, January 3rd. The rest of the time, don't worry about the birds. Let them do what they want. National Toothache Day. February 9th. That's the same day as National Pizza Day, too, by the way. February the 20th, National Love Your Pet Day. 21st of February, National Sticky Bun Day. There you go. National Banana Bread Day, February 23rd. But moving on to June, we'll skip the rest of them. Moving on to June. The rest of this month, you have the 21st is Selfie Day, National Selfie Day. All right. 22nd is National Take Your Cat to Work Day. Jimmy, ask the boss man before you take that cat to work, all right? And, of course, if you're going to have a cat day, you have to have the take your dog to work day on the 24th, which is my birthday of this month, okay? Sunglasses Day, and the 30th is National Handshake Day. So just information that's not really count, but you have it now. So, again, happy Father's Day to all. And I do appreciate the opportunity to get up here and to speak to you today from here. And I just thank the Lord. So let's go to the Lord with prayer. Father, I thank you. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given to each of us here, this opportunity to stand and speak. May the words that I speak not be mine, but yours only. Father, would you meet the needs of each and every person here, and may, as we go through this, everyone have understanding and be better able and desiring more to serve and live a life that will bring honor and glory to you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled the message today of seven qualities, traits of every Christian father, but it is for every Christian husband, wife, man, woman. Qualities or traits that we need to portray as we live our lives here on this earth. Every Christian male should ask himself this question: what makes me a man? More importantly, what makes me a godly man? If a man does not know who he is, he will not be all he can be in Christ Jesus. The Christian male has to understand that he can only define himself based on biblical standards. The Christian male defines himself based on biblical standards. That's because the culture and Christianity have varying viewpoints about what makes a person a man. The Christian male then has to learn to define his manhood in terms of his relationship with Christ, the righteousness and the character of Christ, rather than by the culture of today, the things that focus on strength or money or stature or family. Those are important, but those are not the most important. It is Christ. It is what Christ did, the righteousness and the character of Christ, and how we should define ourselves as a man. A man's definition is not based on the external characteristics, but on internal traits. Not the external looks or anything, but it's what's internal, what's inside of you. The definition of a man is found in the image of God. Look to God to define who you are. Culture does not define a man. So seven characteristics or traits of a Christian, and I'm going to drop it and go to person instead of just man. Seven characteristics or traits of a Christian person. Number one, he must reflect Christ's image. As Adam was made in God's image, the Christian man has to be made in Christ's image. He will reflect the image of Christ. The scripture tells us in Romans 8:29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." The likeness of his Son, of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we, who are unveiled faces, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Father, who is the Spirit." 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, as that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by the evil desires." And in 1 John 3:2 it says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be what? Like him. And we shall see him as he is." The very nature of God. We need to be the image of God. In Ephesians 4, 23, I'll read that to you. Ephesians 4, 20. "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way." Again, Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. "You, however, did not know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truths that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupt and by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbors, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must work, doing good things, useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those who are in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up in accordance to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So he says in verse 24 to put off that old self and put on the new self, created to be like God, righteous and holy. The Christian person needs to put off that old self. Verse 25, he says to speak truthfully, the Christian person, no falsehood, truth. Control your anger. Verse 26. He says in verse 27, don't steal. What does that mean, don't steal? Well, you take time away from work when they're paying you. That's stealing. Take that paper clips. I mean, what is stealing? Is it robbing the bank or is it other things? Is it time that you're stealing? He says in verse 29, to watch what you say. Let your words be with wisdom and encouragement. We need to watch what we say. We need to get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice. And instead, we need to be kind and compassionate and forgiving. The Christian person needs to reflect Christ's image. This is what Christ was. These things are what Christ was. Kind, considerate. So number one is, must reflect the image of Christ. Number two, the Christian person must be full of wisdom and integrity. The Christian man, Christian person, will not be a fool. He will not lack spiritual wisdom and insight. He will be full of faith. As in Matthew 7 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, put them into practice, and is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Whose words were these? It was Christ. It was Christ speaking there. Those that were listening to him, those that will listen to Christ, those that will read, get into the Word of God and study his Word and know what Christ is and who Christ is, we can gain that wisdom and integrity. You know, 2 Timothy 3, let me turn to that. 3:14. They took Timothy out of my Bible. 2 Timothy 3:14. This is Paul's charge to Timothy. He says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have been known, or you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul's charge to Timothy here. Timothy, what you have learned and become convinced of. He learned from infancy. It's never too early to start teaching your children the Word of God. Timothy was taught by the Holy Scriptures from infancy. So, men, ladies, teach your children. In verse 16, the Scripture is useful for what? Equipping your children, equipping us in the good things that we should be doing. So much of the world's teachings are in the bad things. James 3:3 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Show it by your good life. The deeds that are done in humility that comes from the wisdom. And the wisdom is from here, not the world. So, number one, he must reflect God's image. Number two, full of wisdom and in integrity. And the wisdom, again, comes from the Word of God, not from the world. And number three, he must be an example to the believers or of the believers in the world. The Christian man, Christian person, should set an example that others can follow. Represent his Christian faith to the world. Are you representing your Christian faith to the world? And in 2 Thessalonians 3:7, it says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example." Again, Paul speaking to Thessalonians. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, "What you have heard from me, Timothy, keep as the pattern in sound teachings with faith and love in Christ Jesus." Paul was the example to Timothy and to others, and it was an example of what? It wasn't an example of the world's doings. It was an example of his faith to all that he came in contact with. He was an example. We need to be an example to the world of what a Christian is. And need to examine our lives and see, are we? Is that what we're doing? So number three, be an example to the world of your Christian faith. Number four, must lead his home in the worship of God. Now, here's talking about the men leading their homes, but I'm talking people leading your home in the worship of God. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "Impress them on your heart. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk down the road, when you lie down and when you get up." When should you be teaching your family about God? All the time. The world's teaching them and influencing them about the unholy things all the time. The world is teaching us about the unholy things all the time. Schools, other family members maybe it's friends that are teaching them the unholy things. Television, the movies, secular books. Maybe it's a neighbor that's teaching them the unholy things. The internet. The government. The government teaching the unholy things. What are they teaching? Well, they teach get rid of history that offends. They teach that homosexuality is all right. Abortion is all right. If someone offends you, then, hey, take them to court. You don't need to forgive. They teach you how you should live, how you act, what you're to think. Watch the news. Watch the television shows. Watch what Hollywood's trying to teach you. Teach you how you should feel. God's Word teaches us how we should feel, how we should act, how we should live. But it's in combat all the time with the world's viewpoints. Men, women, we need to step up and teach our children how to live in this world. The world teaches that, and I see this in a lot of people, the world teaches that it's all about me. It's what I want. Not about you. It's all about what I want. And that's not right. That's not what God teaches. It's about others. It's about how He lived His life for others. The important person is not me, it's you. Ephesians 4 says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You need to get into God's Word and you need to pass it along to your children. You need to teach the Word and show them how they are to worship the God that gave them life, the God that protects them, the God that provides for them, the God that loves them, the God that protects us, the God that provides for us, the God that loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The ultimate gift, provision. Lead your home. Lead your home in worship of God. Number five, follow the example that Christ set. Paul exhorted the Christians to follow His example as he followed Christ. This will be the same desire of the Christian person, or should be the same desire of the Christian person. Not only want to emulate Him, but emulate Him as he follows the person as Christ. Follow my example, Paul said to the Corinthians, as I follow the example of Christ. Who is the example that you follow? Is it a friend? Do you follow your boss? Is that the most, who's the most important person? Co-worker? A wealthy person? I want to be like Bezos or whatever. Trump. Teacher. Who is it that you follow? Is it a politician? We already talked about how Paul was the great example of his faith. His faith was in Jesus, and his example was Jesus. Our example should be Jesus and His righteousness, holiness, loving kindness, and love for others, etc., etc., etc. So John 13:12 says, when He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I do. Need to be an example like Christ was. Jesus was setting the example of his humility and love by washing the disciples' feet. There are so many examples in Scripture from Jesus as to how we should live our lives while we're here on the earth. But how will you know these examples unless you get into the Word and read His Word? Too many Bibles are sitting around. Nobody reads them. Probably in here we see that. I speak to myself as well as I speak to you. Matthew 16 says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Who do you follow as your ultimate example? Is it Jesus? Hebrews 12:2 says, Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. People followed others on the Capitol Hill riots. Protesters follow other protesters marching up and down the streets. And most of them have no idea what they're doing, what they're following. Well, we need to read the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and follow the example that is written in there. So be an example. Also, number six, a man of prayer. The Old Testament, men offered a lot of powerful prayers in the Old Testament. And contrary to popular beliefs today, women are not the most effective in prayer. Men also have an effectiveness in prayer. Prayer is not women's work. It's men's responsibility also. Weep and mourn and intercede with the Lord for others. Pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Number seven, he is a student of God's Word, or the Word of God. The Christian man will have a desire to know God's Word. He will not shun corporate or personal study of God's Word. He will also understand the foundational beliefs of the Christian faith. And the only way to find out is read the Word. Do your best to present yourself before God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. God's Word has the answers. God's Word has all the answers to the issues that surround us today, whether it be economy, health, racial injustice, living on this earth, actions with others. So you need to study God's Word. You need to get into God's Word. Find the answers. Seek God. Seek God's people to help you find those answers. Seven characteristics, traits of the Christian person. Reflect Christ's image. Be full of wisdom and integrity, the wisdom that comes from God. Be an example to the believers in the world. Lead your home in the worship of God. Follow the example that Christ set. Be a person of prayer. And be a student of the Word of God. 1978, I had my second birth. I was born in 1950, and again, 24th, if you want to remember that, of June. But anyway, 1978, missionary Les Rainey came to the church that I was attending, gave a week-long sermon, messages, spoke on Luke and the sufferings of Jesus Christ. I think it was Thursday evening that when you walked into that church, there was a little, you parked in the back and you walked through these doors. And a little area there had a board on the side and stuff. And And you went through this next door, and the sanctuary is on the right. To the left were the classrooms down that hall there. And in front of you was a front doors with the vestibule area type thing there. My wife and I were standing there at that little room. I was looking at the chalkboard, and I heard the doors open to the left down here in the classroom, and I looked down there, you know, around the hall, and there's the elders and the Les Rainey coming out. And I'd heard him all week long. He'd been there to every meeting that week. And he came out, and when he walked by me, he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm John McClammy." He said, "Oh, you're the one we're praying for." And he went on. I went in that night to that room, and he spoke, and he talked about the crown of thorns, the stripes across his back, the carrying of the cross, the hanging on that cross, the nails. After that meeting, I was in tears. And one of the elders said, "Do you need to talk?" And I said, "Yeah." Anyway, that's when I made the decision that I wanted to follow Christ. He did so much for me that I wanted to follow him. So I've tried to, all these years, I've tried to follow Christ. And there's a song that we're going to play. It's a YouTube song that we're going to play here. And it's called "I Will Follow" by Chris Tomlin. And some of the words say, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. When you move, I will move. I want to do that for Christ. How you serve, I'm going to serve. If this life I lose, I'm still going to follow you. I will follow you. I will live for you alone. All I need is you alone, in you alone. In you, there's life everlasting. In you, there's freedom for my soul. In you, there's joy, unending joy." I'm going to tell you, 44 years has been joy living for Christ. Jimmy?